All right. Women's away trying to find their seats. I'll come up front.
Oh, I'm tired.
All right. All right, we'll get started. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. That'll be our text today. Colossians 2. Let me stand up and we'll get reading. Get started. Ugh. Yeah, you seem loud and clear. All right, Colossians 2, starting here in verse 13, two verses. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out and nailing to his cross. I want to preach a simple message today, and that is on the subject of the forgiveness of sins. On the subject of the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we think certain people are just too far gone. We look at a murderer or a dope addict or a drug dealer, and we may think, I don't know if you think this or not, I don't, but some people might think that there's no way God can forgive that. We feel sometimes that extreme wickedness can cancel out God, cancel God's mercy. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God's grace is greater than the worst sin you can think of. Doesn't matter how far someone has gone. If they believe the gospel, they are washed, sanctified, justified. I mean, here are just a cr crazy examples. I mean, people like Charles Manson or Hitler, abusers, addicts. Yes, their sin was evil, but even they are not beyond God's reach. Don't we shouldn't write anyone off. We should never write anybody off. The gospel is the good news that Christ died for sinners, and the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:10, it says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All of us has come short to God's glory. All of us are guilty before God. The forgiveness of sins is a simple subject. You ought to know it, and you ought to understand this, because when you understand the forgiveness of sins, you can start growing in grace. I have 3 points today. My first point is this, is that forgiveness is complete. I was in a live stream, and this person told me, he says, I don't believe, and he's claiming to be free grace, and he said to me, I don't believe that all sins are forgiven. He said to me, I believe your past sins are forgiven, but in order to stay in right standing with God and a right standing with Him, you have to continue to confess your sins. But here's what makes no sense. All our sins were futured according to Jesus. When He died on the cross, all our sins were future sins. And here in Colossians 2, you read it clearly. It says this, having forgiven you all trespasses. Unless you're a Calvinist, last time I saw all means all. All sins. Paul doesn't say some sins. He didn't say past sins only. The one, or the ones you confess, or the ones you repented of, or the ones you stopped doing. He says, no, all sins are forgiven, all trespasses. And under God's law, we're all guilty. But by believing the gospel, the good news that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, you receive all sins forgiven. You receive forgiveness of sins, all of it. In Acts 28, Jesus said the same thing. He said this, that they might receive an inheritance among me and forgiveness of sins. He didn't say some sins, he said forgiveness, all of it. When Christ died All he died for all your sins. All were charged to him, judged in him, crucified with him, buried with him, and removed forever. God has nothing left to charge you, not even one. In 1 John 1:9, it says, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess here does not mean continue confession. The word confess here comes from the Greek word halomengo, means to agree. In Galatians 2:17, Paul says this, if we seek to be justified by Christ, we are found ourselves sinners. Before you got saved, when you heard the gospel, you saw that you were a sinner. You agree that you were a sinner. And you placed your faith in Christ. And the moment you did that, you received forgiveness of all sins. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All means all. God has nothing left to charge you with. The forgiveness of sins is a simple subject. You ought to know it. When this man told me he didn't believe that, I told him right away, you have a false gospel. Because if any man ain't preaching this, he's preaching to another gospel. Tells you your sins are not fully forgiven. Well, you're not forgiven, and you stand condemned by your own standards. Well, if all sins forgiven, means all people are going to heaven. He quotes 2 Corinthians 5 out of context. Well, hold on. Jesus said this in John 3:18. It's he that believeth is not condemned. Christ died for all sins, but you have to make a decision. You have to believe what he did to receive forgiveness of sins. John 3:18 says it clearly. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already. Jesus divides the world in two groups. Those who are believing, those who are not believing. And those who believe are not condemned, but those who are not are condemned already. And to believe on Jesus is simple, means you trust what he did, not what you do. God sees no sin in his people. Nothing left to charge you because of what he did on the cross. The Greek here in Colossians 2 all means patra, I can't pronounce it, but it means every trespass without expectation. All sins were forgiven. Paul says in Galatians 1, if any man preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. When Christ died, he died for our sins, not our past sins, but sins in general. He died for all of it. All our iniquities were laid on him. And to say that he only died for certain sins, well, you know better than a dirty, filthy Calvinist on your way to hell. Preaching another gospel, another Jesus. Paul warned us about this, and listen, some will come to you and preach another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit you have not received. According to this person, Christ didn't rise from the dead. According to this person, he didn't really did his job. I'm not saying he's unsaved, but I'm telling you, he's preaching another gospel. And the gospel he is preaching is leading souls to hell. No one's going to get saved from it. There ain't no assurance in it. My second point is this. Forgiveness is once and for all, not maintained. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And you think this is basic stuff. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10.
I need your help.
By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 12. But this man had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down right at the hand of God. And for by one offering he hath perfected them forever that are sanctified. One offering for sins. One offering. And what people will do is that they turn in their confession to their offering to God. And you know what? God is displeased with that because all it does is bring a remembrance of sins. But in those sacrifices, they remember made of sins every year. And how do you think God feels when he had a bunch of people coming up to him? Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. When he gave the one sacrifice for sins already. They're establishing their own sacrificial system. And in those systems, there ain't no forgiveness. because there's always been one forgiveness at the cross. He did the one offering. It's complete. There's no confessions needed. There's no animals needed. One sacrifice was enough. But what they believe is that Christ didn't really die for all sin, but he died to establish a new sacrificial system, which is that you got to maintain your forgiveness. Well, that doctrine is straight from Satan's lips, straight from the devil's hell. Because right here it says, for by one offering you have been perfected. For by one offering you have received forgiveness of sins. By one offering for sin. In verse 18 right here. And their sins and wicked deeds will I remember no more. Where the remission of this is, where the forgiveness of this, there's no more offering for sin. How can you tell someone that they maintain their forgiveness when right here it says their sins, past, present, future are gone. And where there's message is, there's no more offering. Forgiveness is once and for all, not a repeated or maintained. We are sanctified once for all, for by one offering. So forgiveness of sins is not a process or ongoing cleansing or repeated through confession or maintained by a certain way of living. Forgiveness is finished, final, eternal. It can never change. One sacrifice, one time, forever. You're not partly forgiven. You are forgiven. And you're not forgiven because you apologize. You're forgiven because Christ has paid it all. That the gospel is not God will forgive you if you do this and this and this. The gospel is God has forgiven you in Christ. But people think they're better than the people. That's what it comes down to. I remember I was in the Black Cat preaching the gospel, and this lady heard me preaching this message to a young man, and then she said to me, so he's saying people like Hitler could have gone to heaven if they would have simply trusted in Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And you think you're better than Hitler tonight? Well, you're just as guilty as him. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned. All have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. According to God, we're all guilty. All guilty. And we're in need of forgiveness outside of Christ. But now that you're in Christ, you have received total forgiveness of all sin. All right. All right. I'm going to have to kick you guys out because you're trying to come up here. Sorry. All right. My third point is forgiveness removed the law, not just sin. In Colossians 2:14, read it right here. It says this: He blotted out the handwriting that was against us and contrary to us. He wiped out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. The law stood against you. It was contrary to you. The law condemned you. The law defined your guilt. The law demanded judgment. The law called for your death. But Jesus didn't just forgive your sins. He removed the entire system that condemned you. And where there is no law, there is no trespass. He didn't just take away your sin. He took away the law that accused you. Took away the record that opposed you. He blotted out, the Bible says. So you're not partly forgiven. You're not conditionally forgiven or temporarily forgiven or maybe forgiven. You're forgiven until you make a next. No, you're fully forgiven. You are forgiven. Released, forgiven and justified, forgiven and perfected, forgiven and forever clean. I mean, this is a simple subject. He said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Romans chapter 4 very simply, clearly tells us, he says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed be the Lord who not impute sin. And some guys, so that's quoting David in the Old Testament. Well, Paul using it as an example here. Under the Old Testament, forgiveness was conditional. You had to confess. It's based on obeying and cursing and blessings under the law. But yet, Paul said that David was still justified under the law by faith. But why I was using this as an example, showing you there ain't no need for confession, because to him that works not but believes is justified and received forgiveness of all sins. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. your sins are not reckoned to you. Christ became sin, yet knew no sin, so we can be made the righteousness of God in him. And by this idea that you have to maintain your maintain by confessing, you're basically saying the cross of Christ is none effect. And that's what these men do. They use enticing words, fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple, to corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ, to get your eyes off of Christ and onto yourself in performance. But Paul says, if any man preaches any of the gospel, let him be accursed, and these people will bear their judgment. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, much more now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And his blood, that's how we receive forgiveness of sins. Because of his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from judgment. We shall be saved from wrath. Now that's very telling you something. Your sins are gone. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we are justified freely by his grace, by his blood. I want to read something here. Turn your Bibles to, stay in Romans chapter 8 or Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, again, through his blood we have received, we shall be saved from wrath. I'm trying to find something here, and I can't pull it up. I don't know what's going on with my computer. I don't think I have it saved in this chat. It's not a big deal. Forget about it. But forgiveness of sins is simple. You receive forgiveness of all your sins the moment you believe the gospel. Outside of Christ, you're dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins, reprobated, rejected. All of us were rejected before we got saved. All of us were reprobates outside of Christ, unsaved, on our way to hell, rejected by God, dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. We needed a Savior, and that was Christ. But when we heard the word of the gospel, the word of the truth, Christ died and rose again, we were quickened, made alive, regenerated, the moment we believe, and we receive total forgiveness of all sin. And anyone who tells you you're not fully forgiven is preaching another gospel. Some will try to trouble you. Remember, they're trying to trouble you. And they do it through fair speeches. They do it through vain philosophy. They do it with enticing words to make the cross of Christ, Paul says, of none effect. They are trying to steal your crown. They're trying to get you to mix your message of law and mix it with death. But they do it to keep people enslaved, so they can keep people. And why they preach another gospel is to keep you enslaved. To keep you in bondage. Turn to with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Salvation's simple. It's not complicated. Men make it complicated. They want to make it hard and difficult. Well, if you just do this and if you just do that, nope. All you got to do is trust Christ. Just believe what he did. Believe what he did on the cross. No ifs, no buts. No, well, what about this? What about that? And this and this and this. No, it's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And here's the truth. In ourselves, we're sinners, the Bible says. We're sinners. I don't deny that. We are guilty. But in Christ, we are seen what? Perfectly righteous. Perfectly righteous. and we ought to see ourselves how God sees us, perfect, clean, holy, and righteous, without blame, without spot. It's a simple message, I know, but you ought to know it and remind yourself of this, because people are going to come and try to stumble you, crucicate you. You have to guard your gospel. Because men will be judged by our gospel, Paul says. Men will be judged by our gospel. The person on that live stream will be judged by my gospel. Your gospel, God's gospel. And any man preaches another gospel, and we're preaching unto you now, let them be accursed, let them be damned. Let them be cursed according in this lifetime. No sin can condemn a Christian. No sin. The worst kinds of sins you think of, it can't condemn you. Sin's gone between you and God. My sins are no longer mine. They are Christ, and he took them on that cross. There was a quote by Martin Luther. I'm going to read it. He says this, Christ is the greatest sinner because all the sins of the world were laid upon him, but yet he had no sin. He knew no sin, but he became sin. And this is a mystery we don't understand fully. A perfect man became sin. I think about that when he was on that cross. I'm going to have to go extreme. He became the murderer on the cross. He became the unjust for the. He became unjust for us to make us just. All the sins were laid upon him. All of it. Every guilty thing you've done and haven't done yet. Every single sin. The sins of the whole world were laid upon him. And he died. And rose again. Paid the sin debt. Paid it. Matter of fact, it's gone. Between you and God, there is no sin. No sin reckoned to you. No sin imputed to you. Even though you may remain a sinner here in this earth in the flesh, none of it's reckoned. None of it's imputed to you. Christ is my righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And I am his sin. And someone who violates, look at me, someone who violates your conscience with law, with another gospel, they're violating God. And they will bear their judgment, Paul says. So forgiveness of sins, it's simple. Believe. And you are forgiven. That's the good news. Outside of Christ, we were all rejected, guilty sinners on our way to hell, hell bound. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead. And by placing your faith and trust in his finished redemptive work, you receive total forgiveness of all sin. And God looks down upon you with a smiling face, just like you never sinned. So all sins of the believer, past, present, are forgiven. And a believer is righteous and holy just when he sins, just when he prays. There's not any one sin that'll be on your account that's laid charge upon you, that's imputed on you, that's reckoned to you. All of it's gone. A believer is justified when he's gooning, when he's watching a movie, when he's doing something. He's justified in all areas. In Acts 13, we read this. Paul says in Acts 13, he says very clearly here, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, verse 38, that through this man hast preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all believe are justified from all things, which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. We're died to the law. And therefore, because we died, there's no trespasses. Ain't no judgment. No power to condemn us. We live by a new principle. Law of the Spirit. What is that? The Spirit of the Law and Liberty. Something like that. I forgot what how Paul describes in Romans 8. Let me look at it here. We receive the Spirit of God. And Paul says right here in the Law of the Spirit, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the Mosaic law, the law that was contrary, took it away, nailed it to the cross. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from that. And that law is a new principle. It's Christ himself. It's ruled by grace. There's not a new law in effect, but there's a principle here. And that's the law of the Spirit of life, which is Christ himself. The life of Christ manifests in your body. Him dwelling in you now. He has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law that was contrary to you, against you, accusing you. He took it out nailing to the cross. Now, there's not a new law established here. I know he uses the word law, but I believe in this context, he's using he means principle here. That's how I see it. Law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it says. So the Mosaic law, the 613 commandments, what the law could not do, and the weakness of the flesh, God sending his own son, Jesus, son in likeness of sinful, likeness in sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So he came down in likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in his flesh. And that's what he did on the cross. And because he did that, through his death, he's presented to you holy, righteous, unblameable in the Father's sight. So therefore, right now as I speak, there is no sin in God's people. And if you believe, you are God's people, and there is no sin in you. Nothing reckoned, nothing imputed. Though you may remain a sinner here because of the flesh, but there is no sin to you, reckoned to you, charged to you. This is the good news of the gospel. Luke 18 is a parable here I like about the publican and the Pharisee. It's pulling it up right now. Starting here in verse 9, he spoke this parable unto certain men who trusted in themselves. They thought they were righteous and they despised others. These were people who were trusting in their own works, trusting in their own deeds, in their own performance rituals, their own laws they're trusting in. But the publican who was a sinner. And the Bible says here that the publican standing afar off would not lift so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right here, the publican placed his faith in God. And the Bible says he went home justified, declare righteous. But the Pharisee went home non-justified, non-righteous, and dead in his sins. So the message is simple today. The forgiveness of sins. It's simple. It's a beautiful message. All you have to do to receive forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, future, is not coming to church. It's not confessing your sins to a priest. It's not coming down the altar and pray. It is simple. Believe the gospel that Christ died and rose again. When you believe that, you receive total forgiveness of all sins. And anyone who's telling you a different gospel than this right here, someone says, oh, this is not true, this and this and this, let them be a curse, Paul says. Let them be a curse. We're almost done here. There we go. My computer on SteamVR, for some reason, my thing freezes up, so I can't click anything on the bottom of it. So it's all right. So I can't get to my notes now. Anyway, point one. All sins are forgiven. Point two, forgiveness is once and for all. And point three, forgiveness removes the law, not just sin. And so the law has nothing to do with you because you're in Christ. And the believer, I'll say this, the believer is not under the law, because Christ himself is not under the law. There's a quote here, I'm going to read it. It says this, and that's what I mean by the law of the Spirit. And this is it right here. The believer lives by another principle, even Christ himself, and that is the Spirit. And Romans is talking about that has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're forgiven. Not because I said anything, because the gospel says it. Forgiven of all sins. You can leave church tonight, get off of VR chat, and get drunk and kill someone in a car accident. You're still forgiven. I have to go extreme so you can understand your forgiveness. You can get off VR tonight, go buy yourself a gun, and go shoot up a place, you're still forgiven. I'm not encouraging you to do that, God forbid. But you're forgiven.
God, amen, brother, preach.
God's not holding any sins against you.
Amen.
Romans 4:7, I'll read it one more time. Blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord not impute sin. All your sins, past, present, and future, are gone. And not just that. Not just gone and forgiven, but not counted, not seen. And the Lord, not just that. The Lord has imputed, has given you his righteousness. So your standing before God is always secure because of what he has done. And if you're preaching something else than this, you're preaching a false gospel. A gospel that will not save, will not justify. If you're not preaching this message of forgiveness of sins, that's the gospel that we are saved by. Oh, well, you know, I just believe that you just have to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Nope, that's not the gospel. When Paul went preaching, he didn't preach John. I love John, but he didn't preach John 3:16. He preached this message, Christ died and rose again. And of course, you can explain the death and resurrection in John 3:16, I believe. I believe you can use John 3:16 and people get saved. But when you go to believe in Jesus in eternal life, why I say it? Because some people mean you don't have to believe the DBR to be saved. They'll say, oh, you have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in the finished work. They're trying to separate Christ from the cross. You can't do that. They go hand to hand. And so when someone's telling you, oh, I agree, it's faith alone. You just got to believe in Jesus. But then you ask them, what do you mean by that? And they'll say, well, you have to believe what he did. And they're preaching another gospel themselves. It is faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. That's what justifies. Faith in his blood, Paul says. So place your faith in Jesus. To believe on Jesus means you trust what he did. To believe that Jesus is the Christ is to believe his finished work. 1 John 5:6. This is he who came by water and by blood. It's funny. Some guy was spooky arguing with. He said, well, 1 John 5:1, just believe Jesus the Christ. And what these satanic teachers do, they forget verse 6. He came by water and by blood. Don't you forget that there. The blood's the propitiation, the finished work. They remove that. Why? Because they don't want you to understand your forgiveness. They want you enslaved. They want you in bondage. They're not preaching Christ crucified. They're preaching another Jesus who didn't die and rose again. Oh, I love the cross, they say. Nay, hate the cross. They despise it. They despise it. Because they're preaching Satan's gospel. They're preaching another gospel. The gospel is the finished work of Jesus. You believe it, you're saved. The gospel is not baptism. The gospel is not turning from your sins. The gospel is not make Jesus the Lord of your life. The gospel is not anything you do. It's the gospel is what Jesus did for you. and you believe that message, you're saved, forgiven, righteous, and holy. A lot of you already know this who attend us, our ministry, a lot. You know this stuff already, but, I mean, people are, I mean, you think this is basic stuff, but people can't even get this right. People can't even get this simple stuff right. And so, anyway, your sins are not yours, no longer yours, they're Christ. And he judged them at the cross. And so, I encourage you to rest in the gospel, to rest in what Christ did. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Jesus, that we are justified by faith alone, and that the law must not rule our conscience where we died to it. And we thank you, Father, that in Christ alone we are righteous, and that the believer is free from condemnation. We read in your word that you commended your love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank you that we can rest knowing that we're forgiven, that we're righteous, and that we're holy because of what you did on the cross. And Father, we thank you that if any man preaches another gospel than this, that they are a curse, and that we don't have to listen to them, for they are under your judgment, Father. We thank you, Father, that we can rest and enjoy you and feast on you, knowing that nothing can separate from your love. Father, we thank you that we can never lose fellowship with you because of what you've done on the cross. We thank you, Father, that justification not just secured our ticket to heaven, but it secures everything in Christ, the blessing, the reward, the inheritance, all of it, Father. And we thank you, it's to him who works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, service dismissed.